The spiritual life is the most important life, the life of the soul. Yet so many people are ignorant of this. Many people, especially young people, have no idea what life is about. Many are empty and confused. Think of where many young people get their concept of God in the spiritual life. TV, music, games, friends at school. Many people have not thought long and hard about these topics. That's why we hear people say foolish things like, I don't need religion, I have science, as if the two are opposed. What is needed is an objective look. The reality is that science, if it's true, and religion, if it's true, should not be opposed. Truth, if it's true, cannot contradict. Faith and reason work together. The human heart was created by God and can only be satisfied by God. But God also created our brains. The two should work together. So if God is real, and He is, there should be evidence of this all around us. And we owe it to ourselves to be open to looking. This is called natural revelation. You don't need a Bible to see this. So let's take a look around us.
Each of these observations could be their own video. If we remain unbiased and objective, you'll see how reasonable faith is. Observation number one, the universe is in motion. Not only that, but science confirms that the universe is expanding every second. That means that yesterday the universe was smaller. In fact, 13.7 billion years ago, the universe was infinitely small. So small that up to a point there was nothing. In fact, using technology such as the WMAP satellite system, NASA confirms that the universe is 13.77 billion years old. That was the beginning of space, the beginning of time, the beginning of matter, the beginning of everything. 13.77 billion years ago, prior to that point, there was nothing. Literally, nothing. No matter, no energy, no time, nothing. You know what happens when you have nothing? Nothing. When you add nothing to nothing, nothing. That somehow, out of nothing, exploded everything. We call this Big Bang cosmology. Science has no explanation how or why this happened. How can something come from nothing? There must be a non-material force or being that isn't in this universe, that is incredibly powerful and has the ability to create out of nothing. A being or force whose very essence is to exist, that always exists, or else we wouldn't exist. The very fact that we exist when there was nothing is a sign of a creator. Sometimes people will say, well then who created God? Nobody. Because we exist, there must be a force whose very nature is existence. And it must have the power to bring something out of nothing. Or we wouldn't be here. At this Big Bang, or explosion, or creation, whatever you want to call it, we can observe very fine tuning. What do I mean fine tuning? There are forces that govern the way the universe works. The most recognizable is a gravitational constant. From that very first moment of creation, these constants were set and set in such a precise way that if the gravitational constant, for example, was off by even one small fraction of a percent, then there would be no life anywhere, ever. Everything that we recognize would not exist. These constants and many other aspects of nature are so fine-tuned from the very instant that time began that set the universe in motion in such a way that everything is so very well ordered today. Think of all the various systems that at first glance seem to be chaotic, but in reality are all part of a delicate balance. The solar system, the ecosystem, the respiratory system, the circulatory system, and I could go on and on. All of these working together in one big, delicate masterpiece. This is not an accident. There is design all around us that points at a great designer. If we can recognize design in simple things that are man-made, it is foolish not to recognize a designer in complex things that takes man many years of study to comprehend. Another observation is that the created world is beautiful. When we think of beauty, what do we think of? Nature. Sunsets, beaches, mountains, and even people. Beauty doesn't happen accidentally. Artists take years practicing their craft to make beautiful things. Well-designed things are not accidental. Ordinarily, only nothing comes from nothing, and only chaos brings more chaos. But with God, something can come from nothing, and order can come from apparent chaos. Just as there are laws that govern the cosmos, there are unseen laws that also govern the way that life should behave. If man follows these laws, then society, the human system, will work. There will be peace. But if man breaks these moral laws, there will be chaos. In the individual, in the family, and in society. There exists inside each one of us an awareness of good and bad. These moral laws flow through us. God put these in us. We are moral beings. When we break the moral law, our conscience fills us with guilt. When we see injustice, we are filled with a righteous anger. We not only experience this inside of us, but we expect others to be aware of these laws, regardless of where they are from. Why would God put this in our hearts, other than the fact that He cares about our behaviors and desires goodness and order? Tied to this is our dignity. We all feel deeply that human life has value. Why? Why is there so much outrage at crimes of racism? Why is it okay to kill an ant, but not okay to kill a child? Because deep down, we know that there is a special dignity and value to human life. That human life is sacred. We say that all men are created equal. What makes us equal? What gives us value? Where does this dignity come from? It comes from God. Every person is made in the image and likeness of God. Every human life is sacred. I could go on, but I will conclude this segment with this final observation about our human experience. We might all have different tastes and preferences, but deep down, there are certain things, certain desires that all men and women have. We call these natural desires, and every natural desire has something that satisfies it. Thirst, hunger, sexual desire, loneliness, there are real things that satisfy these desires. Every natural or common desire points to something that satisfies it. There exists one desire that is common to every man, woman, and child. Every person who has ever existed has desired happiness. Lasting happiness. Happiness that doesn't end. Lasting happiness is what our hearts long for. And yet, nothing on this earth fully satisfies us. And that must mean one thing. We are made for more than this earth.
Natural revelation can only take us so far. Its limits are the visible world. For answers about eternity, I need God to reveal Himself. If I'm looking for religion, not only should it be in line with human reason and natural law, but there must be a divine revelation. And there's only one religion where God not only reveals Himself, but He actually enters our world and becomes one of us. He made this universe. It is fitting that He come here to bring us out of it. If I'm picking a religion, if I'm being honest, I have a problem. Earlier, we discussed the moral law. I personally am guilty of breaking the moral law. We are all guilty of breaking the moral law, and we keep breaking the moral law. Broken laws normally have consequences. I can't pay for the consequences of breaking this law. I can't pay for the consequences of offending God. I don't even know how. But again, there's only one religion that I know of that God becomes a man. And that man, who's also God, Jesus Christ, suffers and dies to pay for my sins and for your sins. Christianity. But even still, if I say I am a Christian, how do I get to heaven? How do I become a better man? How do I become one with God? Still, there's only one answer, Christianity, but not just Christianity, Catholicism. And not just Jesus, but Jesus really, truly, and substantially present in the Most Holy Eucharist. Why? Because in the Eucharist, you literally eat Jesus. You become one with God. You are divinized. You are made holy. In the Eucharist, you are given strength to become a better person. It cost Jesus His life on the cross to give us the Eucharist. This is faith and reason working together. Grace building on nature. Natural revelation working together with divine revelation. There's still one problem. How can a good God allow evil? How can a good God allow murder and rape and racism and infanticide and starvation and suffering? That's a very good question. Even pious people ask themselves this question when they're suffering. One of the things that makes God good is that He gives us freedom. Freedom to love and to obey the natural law, and freedom to reject it and to do whatever we want. God didn't murder or rape or pillage. Men did. In order to truly be good, God has to give us freedom. He has to give us the freedom to accept Him or to reject Him. That being said, God still has to do something about this great evil, and He does. What does He do? The answer, again, is Jesus Christ. God entered humanity, and He suffered. He took upon all the suffering of men. He allowed Himself to be beaten. He allowed Himself to be abused, betrayed, tortured, crucified, and He died on a cross. He took upon Himself every cruelty. Why? To identify with us, to identify with the weak and the suffering, to give our suffering meaning, to turn our death into life. God submitted Himself to the abuse of men. This is the greatest evil, creatures killing their Creator. But God brings about the greatest good, eternal life. God can bring something out of nothing. God can bring order out of chaos. He can turn death into life. For those who have faith, none of these arguments are really necessary. For those who do not want to believe, none of these arguments are really going to be enough. What's really necessary is one last thing, one final experiment or observation. Pray. In the silence of your room, in the silence of your heart, be still. Talk to God and say, God, if you're there, reveal yourself to me and listen.